11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Welcome along to the League Podcast. It's the playoffs still, I know. We're not quite sure where we are, but we know that it's a Thursday and we know there's two League 2 games to preview. My name's Lee Phelps. Pete Farris is with me. You well, Pete?
Hello. Ready? How are you doing, Lee?
It's nice to see you face-to-face again.
Yeah, I know. We haven't spoken in a face-to-face manner for a long time.
No.
I'm classing this as the boring league. We've had overs all over the place apart from these two. Burton Albion beat Southend 1-0 in the first semi-final first leg, and York City succumbed to Fleetwood in that rearranged game, losing 1-0. The scoreline probably wasn't that surprising, but I was surprised at the way the result went. It's Fleetwood versus York first of all on Friday at 7:45, so let's have a look at that one. When you look at the finishing positions of these two, that was the first defeat York have had in 17 matches in League 2, taking them right up to 7th place. We talked about how well 7th place teams do. There's not a lot between them in terms of where they finished this season. 5 points separated them. What about Fleetwood? All they've got to do is get a win at home, which they've been doing most of the season. Admittedly, the last eight or so games, there were a few draws in there, but it's well within their grasp this now, Fleetwood.
Yeah, it is. And I think the other thing to say is that Fleetwood, of course, I saw them in the second leg of the JPT against Chesterfield, where they played actually very, very well indeed. Won 1-0, but on the night weren't able to go through over both legs. But they certainly were able to step up to the occasion when they had to, and they just weren't quite able to get just about over the line. They certainly played very well. They pressured Chesterfield. They hit them quite late on, but they played very, very well in that game. The other thing to say here, Lee, is about socks up syndrome, and it's something that I apply quite a lot.
Yes, it had to happen in the playoffs.
And York, obviously, like you say, unbeaten for a very, very, very long time, then going to that game against Fleetwood. At times played very well. Think of the chances that, for example, Michael Coulson had. Put a couple. I always want to call him Andy Coulson, who's the former News of the World editor, but it's not him. And Coulson kept putting it wide. He was a man who was in constant contact with the front of that Fleetwood goal. For him to score and York to win in 90 minutes is 8-1. Now, if you want to play York, from what we saw from this guy in the first leg, I've got to say that would be my advice if you want to play York.
Yeah.
Having seen Fleetwood in the second leg of this kind of knockout competition so far this season already, I think they're over the line here. I think they need to just win today. And I think, well, in that game, I should say, rather than today, even money on the outrights is eminently backable for me. They're a strong side, they're a physical side, and they have got these moments of class. Like, for example, Anthony Sarcevic, who is an absolutely exceptional, exceptional player. Josh Morris, the young midfielder, he's brilliant as well, Lee. Now, obviously, last time we looked at this game, Matty Blair was put up by ourselves, wasn't it? 17-2 anytime. Yep. He scored, he's got in back-to-back games now. And that 10-1... That 10-1 for a guy who scored in back-to-back games for a home side. For a home side. Now, if you look at this and you say, well, Fleetwood are even money and York are 3-1. Yet, Coulson to score and York to win is shorter than a guy who scored in back-to-back games to score and the home team to win, which is 10-1.
Mm.
And Matty Blair is against his former team, of course. 10-1. It's a strange piece of pricing for me. Because it's the home side who are favs, and the guy who's scored in back-to-back games is bigger than the away side who aren't favs on terms of the outright goal scorer.
Yeah.
Now, I appreciate that, for example, Coulson's shorter in the market. Coulson anytime is 11-4, and Matty Blair is 5-1. So I get the pricing from there, but
yeah.
I just looked at that and thought, I maybe thought they would be, they'd about balance themselves out, maybe be about the same price. So first and foremost, 10-1 for a guy against his former club with back-to-back goals, who's in really good form and looks very, very dangerous indeed, is an incredibly good play. Fleetwood at even money is a very good play, but York have to go for this. How many times have I said the phrase, you've got to go for this? But they do.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And we've constantly talked about overs. Now, like you said, League 2, in terms of the playoffs, has been the boring league so far, with that one goal in the Burton-Southend game, the one goal in this Fleetwood-York game. But anyone who watched that Fleetwood-York game would have seen end-to-end stuff, that have seen chances galore, that have seen two teams going at each other. And you are getting 6-4 on over 2.5 goals. Yeah. So again, a second leg here, Lee, over 2.5 at 6-4.
Looks massive.
Is absolutely huge to me.
Yeah.
It is huge to me. I also like the look here of Fleetwood and both teams to score, because again, like I'm saying, I don't think Fleetwood, if the overs is going to land, are going to win this 3-0. I do think York will hit them. Fleetwood and both teams to score is 9-2. Big fat fan of those markets, Lee. But that 10-1 Matty Blair and Fleetwood, when you I know I was really excited about the Britt Assam-Belonga bet, which of course didn't land in the piece, but not only did he not score, it was Connor Washington, the former Newport man, but not only did he not score, but Peter also lost. But I still think 10-1, and I understand he's shorter in the market, but his form for goals at the moment is fantastic. And if you really want to, by the way, just very quickly, knowing how dangerous and how much trouble Fleetwood's back line had, I mean, people like Nathan Pond, who's a decent defender, had dealing with Michael Coulson, there's a bet that people on InPlay Radio talk about quite a bit, which is the Anytime Goal Scorer Lose Cast. Now, for those of you who don't know what the Anytime Goal Scorer Lose Cast is, basically it's to pick a player from a team, but that player is in the losing team. So he scores, but his team lose. And you can do it with draws as well if you want to do it. But Coulson to score anytime, Fleetwood to win, 9-2. It's maybe not quite the price you'd want it to be, but I still think it's eminently backable. This, for me, should be an absolute cracker.
Yeah, I can see that. And you know, the way the first leg really played into unders because of the stats, I think this one actually fits overs. You know, you look at the scoring records of the two of them. You know, York are the, I think they're the sixth highest away scorers in the division, scoring 29, which I admit isn't loads, but it's, you know, it's right up there at the top of the table. They've conceded 26. And look where Fleetwood are in terms of home goals, second only to Rochdale, scored 41 goals at home this season, conceding 30. But 6-4 for over 2.5 looks ludicrous.
And
really,
it's the other two things as well, Lee. As I've said, that game wasn't a 1-0 game. There was chance after chance in that match. It was not a 1-0 game that first leg. Well, I suppose theoretically it was. But in terms of how it looked.
Factually
and everything else it was. But I don't think it was, which is good enough for me. But it, not just that, though, Lee. It's on top of that, I think it's a really, really interesting game in which York have got to go for it. So therefore, I think they'll be exposed in some ways, and the overs at 6-4 seems huge.
Yeah, this next game's fascinating as well. Let me just give you the promotion prices before we do that. Fleetwood are the favourites to go up 6-5, Burton 9-4, Southend 7-2, and York 6-1. Fleetwood, the favourites then, but what about this? Southend versus Burton Albion played each other on the last day of the season. Southend won 1-0, as they've done three times out of the last four times at home. They beat Torquay 1-0, they lost to Wimbledon 1-0, beat Accrington, and then Burton 1-0. In fact, under 2.5 has landed in a lot of their home games. Burton Albion's away form was pretty poor in the run into the end of the season. They only won two of the last 12 matches away from home, did draw a few, and those scorelines are just littered with 1-0s and 1-1s. The 2-1 win at Oxford was their only over 2.5 away game in the last 12 matches that they played running into the end of the season, away matches that is. You look at the league table, looking at the goals again, you look at the top scorers away from home, Burton Albion, do you know where they are, Pete?
No.
In terms of the top scorers in the division, fourth bottom. Burton Albion scored 20 goals away from home in 23 matches, conceding 20 as well. And as for Southend's home scoring form, they're not particularly great. 29 goals they scored, which puts them around mid-table. I think Southend at home, I mean, surely they've just got to, you know, do what they've been doing.
Yeah. A few things I'd say. The defeat of Burton before the playoffs, and Burton's bad form going into the playoffs, has got to be taken with a huge, fat, almost Pacific-sized piece of salt. Because he started to change things around with the playoffs in mind. Against Chesterfield, for example, when they lost, he changed a lot around. Adam McGurk wasn't playing. He wasn't risking him particularly. He was dropping a few in and out just to try and keep everyone fresh. Everyone's mind was clearly on the playoffs. And despite everything we've said, I think Burton do this.
Yeah.
I think Burton do this. What I like here is Burton by a goal.
13-5 there to win, Pete.
Yeah, that's
by
huge.
By a goal, obviously you can't do that pretty much, can you? But you technically you can't do it, but you can do the handicap, can't you?
You can do the handicap. You can do the, in this case, it would be a plus one, minus one. Now, like you say, 13-5 Burton, and it'd be plus one, minus one on the tied handicap. Now, if you want to play that, and I think it's not a bad idea at all in doing that, you're getting 9-2. I think that's good enough. What you've got in Adam McGurk, and you've got, to be fair, in Barry Corr, are two of the most dangerous players in League 2. Two players that I think, even if their clubs don't go up this season, will probably go up themselves. Yeah. A lot of talk about Adam McGurk to one or two League One sides, as it is already. Sensational goal scoring form. He's come back from injury. He's looking fresh. He scored, of course, the winner in the first playoff game. And Dave Penny came out afterwards and said that he felt that the Southend losing to Burton was a bit unfair. And I think it was probably a draw game. I think it was probably a game that should have been a draw. But a few things again here. I might well be wrong with this, but odds against on the over 6.5, this is the one that I'm least attracted to. But again, odds against, again, I'm probably willing to take the punt here. Secondly, really like the look again of Adam McGurk anytime. He's part of the headline offer as well. But he's 15-8 anytime. This is one of the most dangerous strikers in the league. And I know that Billy Key has got 12, 13, 14 goals this season, but he's still not quite, for me, as good as Adam McGurk. And McGurk scored last time out. Also worth a look, by the way, if he, of course, features, is Callum McFadyen. He's on loan from Sheffield United. He had a spell at Chesterfield as well this season. Doesn't score a huge amount of goals, but I think from what I've seen, and certainly what I've seen of him in the last couple of games, he's a man who's liking to get up down that left-hand side. He's liking to try and cause a bit of havoc down that south end right. And I just think looking at south end sometimes, because they rely so strongly on Hurst and Straker and people like that to try and create down the wings, defensively, they're a little bit exposed because those are not guys who get back and do their defensive duty. And that's not a criticism of them because they're fantastic going forward. But I really like the look of someone like possibly Callum McFadyen, or maybe even the midfield general of Robbie Weir, if he can try and get a bit of support in from the central of midfield. I think that's great. I think Burton do it. I think they do it by a goal, as I've said, the 9-2. But I just think, again, you're getting the overs, and I think that both teams to score Burton win is 13-2. Again, this is the least attractive of the overs that we're talking about this weekend, and possibly over the course of the whole flipping playoffs. It's not, I'm not, for example, as confident as I was in that 11-10 for Derby Brighton second leg over 2.5. But it's certainly a bet still that I like a great deal. And also worth a bit of a look here, I think, is draw Burton. They'll keep it tight with Burton, and I think Southend will start to try and hit him. As soon as they hit him, that game opens. So if you're wanting a bit of a double result market here as well, then you can play draw Burton. Draw Burton in the market, for those of you who don't know, is draw at half-time, Burton win at full-time. 13-2
looks decent. Like it. We're still doing naps. Pete, your little run. You were 2 in a row, and then you, as you mentioned, you got let down. Mine's still, as we record this, my next one is still to run. It's, I think it was over 1.5 press at Rotherham first half goals.
It was,
was it over 0.5?
It was over 0.5, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Listen back to the last podcast. It's out there somewhere. So we've got another nap to do for these League 2 second leg semi-finals. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, it was a choice between a 10-1 and a 6-4.
10-1, that 6-4 is over 2.5. It's
And I was sitting here thinking, after the Brittas and Belonga debacle, should I get involved in that 10-1? Matty Blair scored in the last leg.
Because the punters can still have about the 6-4. They know about it. You flagged it up.
Yeah, true. But people can still back the 10-1. They just know the 6-4 is my favourite. And I was thinking, scored in the last leg between these two. He's a former York player. He's been in good goal scoring form. The other 2.5 is 6-4. And I'm sorry, it's too good a price. But that 10-1 is worth a quid. It's worth a quid of anyone's money, that 10-1, with the form that Matty Blair's in of late against his former club. I'm expecting goals in the game, which means you might get two or three bites of the cherry in terms of which player, which striker, which goal scorer you're getting. And Matty Blair has been incredibly impressive of late. 10-1 anytime, Blair to score, and Fleetwood to win is great. But the over 2.5 or 6-4 is a damn sight better.
It just looks massive, that price. I'm chasing a little bit here. I'll flag that up straight away. Chasing a price. I agree with what you say about the Fleetwood York game, that I think there will be goals.
Yeah.
You know? And I love the first half goals in this match. When you look at York's away performances, now they haven't scored loads of goals, but in the Scunthorpe United 2-2 draw, two goals in the first half. They scored in the first half at Portsmouth, at Mansfield, at Wimbledon, two in the first half at Plymouth. There was a goal in the first half when they went to Fleetwood last time. And then you look at Fleetwood's home performances, two goals in the first half in the 1-1 draw against Southend, two goals in the first half against Morecambe in the 2-2 draw, another two in the first half against Bristol Rovers, you can see where I'm going, another two in the first half against Portsmouth, one conceded against Plymouth and another one against Northampton. So I thought, I love over 0.5 goals in the first half.
Yeah.
8-15. Can't be doing that.
No.
Over 1.5 is 3-1.
Well,
that's a big jump.
In all seriousness,
basically 1-2 to 3-1 for a goal, and they're going to be going for it. It's a bit of a risk, but I think 3-1 is overpriced.
Well, I would say that one of the bets that I was putting up in play, it didn't land, but one of the bets I was very strong on in play when I was on in play radio for the first leg was over 1.5 first half goals.
Yeah.
Because of the way the game was going. York absolutely exploded out the traps.
And they'll have to do it again now.
And another thing to mention, of course, the unders, if for anyone panicking on the overs, it just occurred to me now, the rain. Again, that pitch was an absolute, not bog, but it was certainly very difficult, very, very difficult on that pitch. And that is never really, as a punter, conducive to overs bets. So that, for me, I think is another really interesting way in. But truth be told, like, yeah, that's a really good bet, the over 1.5 in the first half at 3-1 Lee. And I love the over 2.5.
If it's 0-0, we give up. We won't give up. Even if it's
There's only one more podcast left.
That's true, yeah. And that will be on the Friday before the playoff weekend, which is Friday the 23rd of May. So you've got the 24th, 25th and 26th for the Championship League 1 and League 2 playoff finals. Pete, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Liam.
You'll hear Pete on In Play Radio between now and then. And if you're having a bet on any of the playoff matches, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.